Quarter pool, 20 games in. Teams 12-6-2. Your assessment?
Well, you know, obviously we're happy with the points and we're happy with where we're standing. I think we try to dig a little deeper in terms of, you know, segments. And actually it's interesting because this morning we kind of do it. You know, Bob has a seven-game segment that he does with the players. We, you know, from a statistical standpoint, we really try to break it down to 10 games. So we went through it this morning and looking at the last couple of days, I was traveling. And really when you dig into it, I think the record, the last 10 games is indicative when you compare it to the first 10 games in terms of our team play. You know, things such as, I don't have it right in front of me, but, you know, we've created 24 more scoring chances in about than we did in the first 10 games.
Right.
We've limited, we're plus 37 in terms of, you know, we've given up 13 less scoring chances. You know, when you really look at the, our 5-on-5 shooting percentage right now is at a number that probably
pretty
isn't
high.
Going to stay. So, you know, we've been carried by our 5-on-5 play. When you look at special teams, you know, the power play has sort of hovered around the same percentage. I've liked our power play in the last 10 games. We've taken a more of a shooting mentality. We were 28th in the league in terms of shots on goal on power play, 5-on-4 in the first 10 games. We're 5th in the league in the last 10 games. Conversely, on the penalty killing, we'd like to increase our percentage, but we're limiting more shots. You know, I think anybody that watched our team in the first 10 games, there was many nights when we won because our goaltender was the first star. I look at their save percentage, it's dipped in the last 10 games in terms of 5-on-5 play. And we've been able to get points in games that we can say, you know, our goaltender wasn't necessarily as good as they've been. So those are encouraging signs. So probably a long-winded way of saying we're happy to get the points in the bag right now, but we're also not getting ahead of ourselves, and we know there's areas of our game that needs to be cleaned up.
6 weeks ago when you joined us, you know, you set the table and the stage for the season. I'm guessing, but I'd like to hear it from you, that 20 games in and being a team that's in a top spot in the Western Conference, have you changed your approach on the rest of the season? Is any now do you go big game hunting, try and land that big stud to push you over the top,
no,
anything like that?
No. I mean, you're always looking daily. The job is to how do we get better,
yep.
You know, and people sometimes equate that to big moves. You can do a lot of little moves and you can do little things. You know, one of the things here, just, you know, in a lot of cases it's been forced by injury, but we've, and I say we, but specifically I've had a better chance to evaluate young players while live bullets are flying. Mm-hmm. You know, we probably didn't design it going back to September that let's take three of our top four centermen out. Let's take at the time our leading scorer and see how that goes. Well, you know, you've been able to see a Josh Juris, a Marcus Granlund, you know, Sven Berchi, Michael Ferland come up and play at the NHL level when games matter. So it doesn't, you know, we don't sit here now 6 weeks later and say, you know, we've had some success. We've put that now the master plan goes out the window. We are still looking at this on a long-term basis. We're not, I have no interest or desire to look at things that are going to help us for the next 3 months that impact us long term, but you're always looking at ways of making yourself better, both now and in the future. So those that doesn't change.
I guess understand where this question comes from, because we had the conversation yesterday, and I know that the conversation is being had by plenty outside the organization who observe, but they say 29th in the NHL in shots per game, 5th in the NHL in goals per game, and you say, okay, well, is this sustainable? Can they keep up a shooting percentage like that? What do you say in terms of that conversation and what the long-term outlook is for the rest of the season for your group?
Well, Pat, it comes back to a little bit what I said earlier is, you know, you can't, you have to, it's like everything, you look at why you're having success or why you're not having success. I think we have to continue. I think a little bit of that is personnel based. Listen, these young guys have come up and given us some really good hockey, but, you know, we've asked them to do a lot. You take 4, 5, 6 NHL regulars out of your lineup. It's difficult. You're putting other people in different roles. I would be lying to you if I sat here and said, listen, I think we're going to roll the next 60 games shooting, you know, north of 10% 5-on-5. That's just, the numbers, when you dig into them historically, it just doesn't support that. Now, again, the good news is they can't take any of those points away from us now. They're in the bag. But you have to figure out, how do we get better? How do we generate and not get lost? And this is why I really am a firm believer, you have to be process-based versus results-based. And you can't get to the end of the night and say, okay, we won 3-1, you know, life is grand. And conversely, some nights where you may come out at the end of the day on the short end of the stick, you have to dig in and see what really happened. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm more, hey, listen, we want to win. Winning is at the end of the day what it's all about. But I'm more concerned about how we're playing and how we're doing things. And if you do things right long enough over extended, you will get the results. So we have to get better. We have to get better.
And because you talked about how the goaltending was such a big part of it early on in the season, but maybe Tuesday night aside, it seems like you haven't been getting outshot as much, and you haven't had to rely on the goaltending as much as you have. I take a look at the game against Ottawa and the game against Arizona. Your team controlled things at even strength. So have you seen the mm-hmm. steps that you wanted to see in terms of your overall game?
Yeah, I think, absolutely. I think if you look back in some of the games, and even I look at the two Montreal games, I look mm-hmm. at some of the games on the trip, there were, you know, just like I said, it's back to how we, you know, we played well. We played well. We deserved a good result. You know, the team we're playing tonight, we all remember the last time we played.
Yeah.
I mean, there was,
yeah.
I mean, you walked out of there with a ski mask on, basically. You know, we didn't touch the puck the whole night, and you can't, you know, so you don't just sit there and say, hey, we won, so it's great. So the good news is there's been fewer of those games where we've just had to say, okay, Jonas or Kari, just stand on your mullet here and hopefully we get points. You know, we're, and I think it's a lot of things. You know, like I said, we've got young players in that have, you know, originally when you come into the league, your eyes are as big as saucers. Now they're just going out and playing versus trying to survive. I think we've had, you know, what I'd call young veterans, a guy like Paul Byer and Lance Bowman, they've really stepped up. You know, Sean Monahan, listen, we lost three of our four centermen to start the year that were opening night, and our one guy is a 20-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He's, I mean, you just see a maturity in him, and he's, you know, so I think we're starting to settle into our game. And, you know, there's been some good things. I think on most nights when we play fast, you know, we're a hard team to play against. But just to your point, Pat, the nights that we've won, it's been a better process mm-hmm. recently than you can say that about some of the earlier wins.
What about the concept of banking points, as mm-hmm. you mentioned? You can't, nobody's going to take those 2 points away from you. Nobody's taking these 12 wins away from you. And as we move toward, some people point to American Thanksgiving, and some people point to 30 games or whatever. When you start kind of protecting that playoff spot, what's your philosophy on that?
Well, to me, it's a little bit different. I always look in that, you know, you get around 25 games, you have a pretty good, you know, I mean, first of all, I think one thing that we've established that I think every team goes through, and you talk about it, and this goes for, you know, every team, whether you're a top, you know, a team that went far in the playoffs or missed the playoffs, that original part of that start part of the season, training camp and the first few games of the season, every team's trying to establish that identity for their team. And it's a really hard thing to, you know, you want to replicate to have the same game every night. You don't want to have those highs and lows. And the one thing I think from early on in the year, there was an identity to this team. It's a hard-working team. You know, very few nights are we the second hardest working team on the ice. We compete very hard. We play with some speed. I think we've been able to, in some cases, take advantage of teams that are trying to figure out what and who they are. I think we have a real good understanding who we are. Now, to your point, absolutely. Getting those wins in the bank right now, it's such a close, tight league, and you get into those three-point games, you never want to be... And the league gets harder, let's be honest. The league, like to me, it gets 20% harder each month. And so that 25-game mark, in my eyes, has always been... It allows you for new players to adjust. It allows for, you know, systems to sink in. It allows for people to get into defined roles. It's, if you've got young players, you know, allows them a couple of months to kind of get their feet under them. Because I think you really need to, take a breath to see, okay, what are we? Our situation's a little bit different in, you know, we played 8 or 9 games, and then, you know, half of our forward group went away. And so you're trying to determine, okay, at some point we're going to get people back, who fits where. So, yeah, as you get to the middle and the end of November, I think a lot of teams start to say, okay, here's where we are, here's who we are, here's what we're good at, and maybe here's some deficiencies that you try to fix. You know, those points early in the year, and if more than anything else, guys, it gives you sort of that fresh mental approach. When you're chasing it, I mean, it's hard to jump over. It's not necessarily looking how far you're out of a playoff spot. It's sometimes how many teams did you have to get over? And you know how tough it is in the West here. Yeah. So, again, we're not – there's no parades happening here that last I looked in November. But to be in a position that we're in, to get those points and get those wins early in the year, those are critical to allow you to not look at the next 60 games as this major mountain. So hopefully we can, you know, continue on.
With Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames. So what is the update from your infirmary on your injured guys?
Well, nothing tonight. Well, I shouldn't say that. Michael Ferland will be in the lineup tonight. Michael, he's missed 8 games. He's been back practicing. I've seen the last few days, and it takes a while just to get back from those things. Outside of that, we don't think it's anything long-term. touch wood with Chris Russell and David Jones. You know, they're both day-to-day. The guys that have been out for an extended period, the Backlunds, Raymonds, Colburns, all are progressing. You know, nobody's gone back staging. Yeah. They've been, you know, skating on their own here. I think as we get into probably next week and the end of next week, now we can start talking timelines. We're not here saying, okay. You know, when you get into these long-term ones, you're trying to narrow the scope before you start circling dates. We're not in the circling the date, you know, this date in that building or home against these guys. I'm hopeful, if things keep going, that as we go on the trip next week, we may have a guy or two join us for practice at some point. Once you get into some practice, then you can start targeting dates. So we're not there yet, but off in the not too distant horizon, I think we can hopefully see some guys starting to make their way back sooner rather than later.
I do hate to ask about something that I think is a rumor more than anything. Michael Backlund, do you anticipate getting Michael Backlund?
No.
Back?
No, not right now. He's sort of in the same group. His is a funny one because it's Back's tried to battle through it. He had it before camp. We kind of limited him in camp. And then right at the end, he jumps right in and you know, he played whatever he played, 10 games or so, and it was a struggle for him. And his type of injury is just one where you just got to shut him down and rest. And, you know, he'll have a couple of good days. He'll get sore again. So next week, hopefully, we have a better read of where Michael's at.
One of the, I guess, the best things that can happen to a general manager is to have to make difficult decisions. Mm-hmm. Am I talking out of school when I say you might have 2 young guys that have proved themselves as NHLers in Marcus Granlund and Josh Juris? Are they close to creating a headache for you and opening a spot up?
Yeah, they. I can't say enough. Now, the challenge always with those guys is, okay, you know, is this morning glory or is this,
absolutely,
you know, is
absolutely
this over a period of time? And what I can say about both is they've passed each test. I look at like a guy like Josh, probably nothing more supports that more than the other night. You know, we were at home and we had the 5-on-3 late in the game, and you know, he's the one forward out there, yeah, killing the penalties. So, you know, he's passed the coach trust test, which is a big,
yep,
test. Both of them have come in, quitted themselves well, and you're absolutely right. You know, the good news is, Rob, is when you get, you know, when we start to get healthy, it's a great thing when you think, okay, now what? Versus, okay, you get healthy and you just know the 2 or 1 or 3 guys that need to go away. You know, these kids are pushing for jobs, not just to fill in when people are back, but when people are back. So that's a testament to, that's how you grow, and ultimately, that's how you get better as an organization. When you have bottom player, everybody, yeah, you need those top guys. But what you do need to, what makes you better is when you have a bottom push. And as much as we've got a couple guys injured in Adirondack, but there's a handful of guys down there that they're knocking on the door. So that's we like those problems.
I'm curious about your observation on your veterans, especially your veteran forwards. I mean, you gave Devin Setoguchi an opportunity. You know, you've got, you know, Curtis Glencross, who's looking for a new deal. Are you satisfied 20 games in with what you've gotten from your veteran forwards?
Yeah, I think a couple things. I think our veteran, you know, I look at a guy like Curtis, you know, obviously there's two parts to it. There's the on-ice and the off-ice. And I think our veteran guys have done a really – what goes unseen by the paying customer is, you know, it's great to have a Marcus Granlund, Josh Juris, and Johnny Gaudreau coming in here. A guy like Curtis, he supported these guys. You know, what he's done to help them make feel comfortable and behind closed doors and the mentoring and those things have been tremendous. We need our guy, you know, our big guys to produce. And I think Curtis, the good news about Curtis is he's, you know, in some of the internal metrics we do, he's
right.
He leads our team, you know, he's up there in ice time in terms of chances for and creating opportunities in the offensive zone. And not just off the ride. Like a lot of our stuff has come off the rush, what we'd call offensive zone chances, right. Creating in the offensive zone. Curtis leads our team. So Curtis would be the first to tell you he'd like to be sitting on more goals than he has. To me, he's creating chances around it. Devin's a guy who we talked a lot about. We brought him in. He would tell you we need some production. I would say watching Devin's game, and I guess I know a lot of the focus, and rightly so, is on production and goals and assists. To me, he's been around it more. He's been a more involved, more engaged player. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our message to players is we try not to put the focus on you need to score. You need to do the things that will allow you to score. You need to go to those areas. So I'm seeing that more and more with Devin, but at the end of the day, we do need production. So in Devin's case, he would tell you, and I'll tell you the same thing, we're hoping and needing more.
I don't think it's speaking at a school to say that, and certainly taking the phone calls after games, I know it's the hottest topic out there, and that is the future of your head coach and where you are on a potential contract extension. Do you have any update on that right now?
I get asked that a lot. you know what? And I'll answer it the same way I have. We dealt with it in training camp. We knew that, and that's why we wanted to bring it out in training camp. Those things will take care of themselves in due course. I know I understand the question, and why it gets asked. I'll tell you this, that I've been nothing but impressed with Bob. And, you know, it's been everybody talks me getting to know Bob. Bob had to get to know me. And, you know, it was a little bit unique in that in a lot of ways in this game, you know, a lot of people, Bob and I don't think we'd actually ever met. So this was a new relationship for both of us. But I've been just thoroughly impressed. Just, you know, obviously, and, you know, people look to the start and the record, but it's more than that for me. It's the preparation that goes in, the detail. You know, Bob pushes and drags everything out of this group, but it's done in a way, it's a teaching method. You know, there's pushing, but all the other times it's positive and teaching. And you know, as I said back in training camp, we're not going to discuss the contract and those things publicly. We don't with players. We won't with coaches. But it'll there'll be a time and place for that to get sorted out.
No, I just wanted to make sure that we did cover that. I know that a lot of people, and you're right, I'm sure you do get asked about it on a regular basis. Sean Monahan, you mentioned him earlier. Are you surprised how quickly he's ascended to right now knocking on? Like, he's playing like a true number one center right now. Are you surprised by that?
No, I'm not. It seems like a long time ago, those first five games, when there's a lot of questions about Sean Monahan, doesn't it?
Yeah.
You know, and I talked to him in the summer a little bit, and even coming to camp is, you know, it's all, and a lot of this, the external stuff that you deal with is expectations, right? Like, you look at different, when there's very little expected, you know, every little nibble, you think you're over, you know, you're overproducing and you're, playing above your means. I said that the challenge coming in, Sean, is there's going to be more expectations. You scored 20 goals as a rookie. Secondarily, you're also now, people will circle your name. Opposing coaches will look and say, okay, we got to pay attention to this guy. Quite honestly, you know, for three quarters of the season last year, they didn't know who Sean Monahan was. Mm-hmm. So all those factor into it. I think what's even more stands out to me more for Sean is a lot of this has been done, quite frankly, when you lose, and this is nothing against Michael or Marcus Granlund and Josh Juris, and you know, we've had a couple of different guys pinch hit with the centermen that have been out. He's, you know, the one true natural center with NHL experience on our roster for the last 3 weeks.
Yep.
And you know, he gets all the heavy matchups. He plays against other teams' top lines. We expect him to defend. We also expect him to score. So I think what we're seeing is a young player mature sort of in front of our eyes. Now there's going to be dips and valleys and there's all those types of things. But what's impressed me, again, I come back to it. Yes, the production's been good and it's been great and we need those things. But you, if you really watch Sean's game, just he does little things that young players, quite frankly, just don't usually do. You know, playing in his own end. In the style that we play, there's a lot of responsibility on the centerman in his own end. For defensive responsibilities, he makes little plays. His defensive instincts, stick positioning, where he, you know, just where he is on the ice, supporting and collapsing in the middle of the ice, and the poise that he's shown. You know, he's, you know, you guys are around him every day. He's not a normal 20-year-old.
He's got ice water in his
veins.
Yeah,
he's a mature guy, and that's
his
game.
Right?
He's a mature player. So. No, I having to getting to know him a little bit and being around him, I'm not surprised. And you know, we need him to continue on.
When you factor in Monahan's pretty rapid progression, and then Bennett, Backlund, Stage, and what we just talked about, what Granlund's doing, Juris is playing center, and Stage, and like it, all of a sudden, it's a problem you want to have because all of a sudden, this is something that has not been the case in years past. Looks like your group's pretty deep down the middle.
Yeah, and it's a priority. I mean, I said coming in here, you can't have success, especially in the West. I don't care, West or East, without being deep in the middle. You know, you look at the top teams, and it's such an important position for, you know, not only, you know, but in a lot of ways, you're the quarterback. You know, you look at a centerman can make wingers better and distribute the puck and drag others along with them, and you're the one that pulls the line along. And all you have to do is take a look at our conference and go down the list of the teams that have success. So having too many centers is that is not
impossible.
A problem. That's not a problem. Yeah. And you know, those are that falls under the good problems to have.
How's Bennett progressing? Like, I know he's back in the
Yeah, he's back. Yeah. He's back. He's been back, I think, for a couple of weeks now. Good. You know, you got to, you know, one of the great things about Sam is there's some of those guys you have to kick in the rear end, and there's others you have to pull back. If you ask Sam, he might be able to go tonight, but, you know, he's progressing really well. You know, the good thing out of this, if you can say that, is, you know, he got injured, so we had to get it taken care of. But he's not only spending a lot of time, obviously, in rehab, but it's allowing us now to, you know, he's getting a lot of he's putting full days in there. You know, the training staff, once, you know, they're done with the players here, he's just the conditioning part. He's doing a lot of, you know, there's a lot of strength training and you know, nutrition, all those things are going on. So he's progressing well, and we're hopeful that he'll be back up and going here before too long.
Just a couple more with Bradshaw Living, general manager of the Calgary Flames. Your counterpart in this building, Mike Moore of the Calgary Hitmen, acquiring one of your drafted prospects in Keegan Kanzig from Victoria. I'm sure fans would like to know, and I'm sure people would make assumptions. Is there any connection between you, the Flames, and the Hitmen in a deal like this?
Not really. I mean, first of all, Mike and Kiss do a great job with them, and they certainly don't need any help from me or any of us. But you know, so they independently look at their deals and building their teams. to say that we would never have had a conversation when they ask us our opinion on the player, obviously, you know, we have those. The real good thing about being in the same building is we talk a lot,
yeah.
You know, whether it be about their players or about players around the league. There's a real good sharing of information, and they're, you know, they're the experts of that league. So, you know, as they were looking at possibilities, they kind of mentioned to us, but I think it's important to know that, you know, as I said to them, hey, at the end of the day, the deal worked out. It's a great benefactor is us being able to have one of our young guys, you know, in-house now. But by no means would we be driving it or influencing in any way. If they feel that that's a deal that works for them and helps their team better, good for them and good for us that we've got Keegan here.
We could ask you many, many questions about Adirondack, and maybe we'll do that another time. But I do have one, and it's a rather pointed question. If you had a defenseman go down here in Calgary, who would be the first guy recalled?
Well,
or are you in a position where you can recall based on?
Yeah, it's and I, you know, I. The only caveat I put to there, Rob, is again depending lefty righty, depending.
Yep. So you have that flexibility.
We do have some flexibility there. I mean, it's an area I think I've said, you know, going back now for a while, we got to continue to add depth there. We've made a couple signings for depth, and then two of the guys, Potter who and Witherspoon, both had off-season shoulder surgery. They had late starts.
Yeah.
Both of them are up playing well. We've got some young kids down there too. You know, obviously Seeloff and Culkin, Kulak. We've sent him to the East Coast League. By no means is that a punishment thing. We want to keep them all up and playing. Yeah. So, Kandari. So there'd be a number of guys again, depending on fit and need, I guess.
Good situation to be in.
Yeah, it is.
A lot of those good situations. There,
you know what, and that team,
there.
I give a lot of credit to the coaches down there. They, you know, the other day I was going down to see Adirondack, and I said, well, geez, I'll just stay with Calgary and see Adirondack because they're all up here. But, you know, they've done a good job. I think they've now won 6 in a row, 5 of them on the road, so they're playing well right now.
Goaltending's coming back
around. Yeah, it's coming back around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Before we let you go, do want to take a moment just to acknowledge the fact that you've been so gracious enough to help out the Hockey Alberta Foundation Board on December 3rd here at the Dome with the Every Kid, Every Community program. You're going to be the featured speaker. It's a luncheon. People can get tickets by going to hockeyalberta.ca. Tough. You're going to have to work through the host, but an opportunity for people to ask questions and get to know you.
Yeah, hopefully they get a good night's sleep the night before so I don't bore them right to sleep. But I'm looking forward to it. And any time that I can come and speak at a luncheon or a dinner or something hosted by Rob Kirchner, that's a good day. So
there
I'm excited.
We go. Yeah, that was right in the offer when Brian made it to you. I won't come unless. Brad, we've monopolized your time as we always do, but thank you so much for the generosity of it, and thank you for the answers and continued success.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks
Brad.